Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Does your employer pay for training or education that could help you in your job today? Then, IT folks, this is for you. CBT Nuggets offers online IT training that's affordable and, dare we say, fun. From networking and cybersecurity to data science, CBT Nuggets has the training to get you through the workday. With our courses, you'll build real-world skills with short, engaging videos, hands-on virtual labs, and quiz questions to test what you've learned. Go to cbtnuggets.com and check it out. Our online platform launches right in your browser. No expensive hardware or software is needed to start. The best part? You can watch and learn at your own pace, on your schedule. cbtnuggets.com. It's IT training for all levels. From beginner-level courses to advanced network training, our expert instructors give you information that's informative, meaningful, and engaging. We've been helping learners for over 25 years, and we're a trusted name in IT training. So tell your boss it's time for CBT Nuggets IT training. Go to cbtnuggets.com and get started today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. One more hour to go to send you into your football weekend. And now we'll get into college football and a couple of monumental games in this penultimate weekend of the regular season, our second to last Saturday. We'll talk some CFB to start off this third hour. A quick break from a Football Friday to talk about a Friday in the NBA Cup. And it's Feast Week in college hoops. A couple of huge games on the docket as those non-conference early season tournaments are now officially underway. And then we'll finish with our Week 12 Pick 6. Our favorite bets for the Sunday slate all around the docket in the National Football League this weekend. One more hour to go, Joe Ranieri. It should be a ton of fun.
It's going to be an awful lot of fun. I love the Week 13 slate in college football, Ben. Also, some interesting spots in college hoops as well as the NBA we got to get to.
Yeah. Yes, we certainly do. NBA Cup, fourth night of group play action. And as we said, a robust slate on this Friday in college basketball. But, Joe, you said it. What a weekend in store. Week number 13 of this 2024 college football regular season. It is our second to last Saturday. The regular season finale is next week after Thanksgiving. We've got one more Saturday before the final one of the year. And a top five tilt on a Saturday afternoon in Columbus, Ohio, where the focus of the college football world in the last 10 days has been perhaps on a place nobody expected, or perhaps a place the college football world has never focused, Bloomington, Indiana. But that's the Kurt Cignetti effect, my friend. So as we get ready for IU and Ohio State on Saturday afternoon, the Hoosiers postseason promise, how legitimate is it? We had to hear from the people around the nation, Joe Ranieri. It's time now for Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, is Indiana a college football playoff team? A complex question with many conversations that need to be followed in context that must be provided. But the available answers, Joe, I am proud of in our FTP poll. Yes, Indiana is a college football playoff team, regardless of result tomorrow in CBUS. Yes, but they need to cover in their biggest step-up spot of the year, a double-digit dog against the Buckeyes. Or no, look at the schedule, man. Indiana is not a college football playoff contender. Most of the public saying, yeah, Indiana is a college football playoff team, more than 47% of the vote. Joe Ranieri, did the public get this correct, or might you be fading the good people?
Ugh, and here's the problem, Ben. Everything, whether to prove this poll question right, yes or no, completely depends on, forget about Indiana winning. It depends on whether Indiana is competitive, because my problem here, Ben, is that if Ohio State goes in there and blows their doors off, the committee is going to look for any reason to put in a two-loss SEC team as opposed to a one-loss Big Ten Indiana team with one loss, but of course played absolutely nobody. And then, of course, right, the only team you did play, you got blown out. If this is competitive and they can stay within the number, yes, I agree, Indiana is a playoff team. If they get blown out, then the committee is looking for every reason to throw another SEC team in there, and they are on the outside looking in.
No doubt about it. Based on ESPN's own metrics, the Football Power Index, IU's strength of schedule is 106th in the country. As I said yesterday in what became a heated debate with a couple of foolish individuals, Mark Zeno and Donnie Wrightside, the issue is not Indiana's strength of schedule. To really get a full picture of this IU team, Indiana would tell you, although they did not pick their schedule, it has not been a gauntlet. Nobody is denying that the Hoosier strength of schedule has been relatively simple. But to provide the full context into what this Indiana football team has done in a historic and generational season, you need to say what the Hoosiers have done to that easy schedule. And the odds makers know it is easy. And thus, in our line of work, Indiana covering in 8 of 10 games, one of 6 FBS teams around the country with a cover percentage of 80% or better, that takes into account that Indiana is expected to win easily, and yet they are covering based on expected easy margin by 14.6 points per game. But again, Joe, what you offered up there, I think, is a very reasonable description of this Indiana team. Everybody in the country would be at least a slight underdog in Columbus against Ohio State. Why do I know that? Why can I say it with certainty? Well, Ohio State is a favorite to win the Big Ten championship right now, despite losing a game to Oregon in which they were favored on the road in Autzen. Ohio State is not just the favorite to win the Big Ten. Ohio State, Joe, is the favorite to win a national championship at plus 320, more than a dollar in front of the Ducks, more than a dollar and a half in front of Georgia. Thus, Ohio State would be at least a slight favorite on a neutral field against every other team, and thus would be a stronger favorite in the shoe in Columbus against everybody. So the fact that Indiana is catching points is not necessarily stark. The fact that Indiana is catching double digits and a top five tilt does question exactly how good Indiana is in its largest step-up spot, not just of this season, but, Joe, I think you could make an argument in the history of Hoosiers football. So now let's break down the game. How does, if at all possible, Indiana stay within the number tomorrow in Columbus?
Well, hope Ohio State gets locked into their locker room and can't make it to the field. Outside of that, Ben, I would say, no, I'm kidding here. You know, you mentioned it, Ben. There aren't a lot of examples of a double-digit undefeated underdog this late in the season, Ben. We're heading into week 13, and this team is catching double digits. You know what else we haven't seen is a top five ranked team being listed as a double-digit dog. It's only happened 14 times since 2014. Those teams, Ben, 0-14 straight up, 5-9 against the number. The last team to do it was Auburn and Alabama. Auburn beat Alabama in that kick six game, which I'm still scratching my head about here. Listen, they have to keep this game close early. And roll the dice in the second half. And one thing we know about Cignetti teams with Indiana, they're not going to shoot themselves in the foot here, folks. They're a very well-coached team, much like a Nick Saban Alabama team. Very disciplined. Yeah. They're going to make you make the first mistake. If they continue to play that way in this game, and especially early, I do believe if this game was in one score going into the half, they are very much alive, Ben, I think, in the second half, because Ohio State back against the wall. Ryan Day, by the way, is a double-digit favorite, 56-1 straight up, Ryan Day, with the Ohio State Buckeyes. All the trends point to Ohio State, but they got to play the game, and if they can keep it close at the half, Ben, they're alive in that second half.
Every trend in the history of these two football programs should point the way of Ohio State. The last time Indiana beat the Buckeyes was 1988. They have lost 29 consecutive against Ohio State, dating back to a tie in 1990. Indiana has yet to be an underdog this year. When not expected to win against inferior competition, how does Kurt Cignetti get his Hoosiers team up? Joe, it starts early. Indiana +7.5 in the opening half is the way I approach this game. The rest of the college football Saturday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Since 1996, ranked 19th in the country, taking on number 6 Notre Dame inside a baseball stadium up in the Bronx. That's Yankee Stadium. And the Black Knights are more than a 2-touchdown dog against 6th-ranked Notre Dame. Yet another step-up spot, Joe, for a team that has taken advantage of an easy schedule, has hammered every team standing in its way, and yet is expected to get served a dose of reality on our second to final Saturday of this season. Notre Dame has been darn good this year outside of the Northern Illinois game or against MAC opponents. Notre Dame is 9-1, but 7-0-1 against the spread against non-MAC foes. Will this game be competitive up in the Bronx tomorrow night?
Didn't we just see this game last month? It was called Notre Dame versus Navy, and that didn't work out all that well. But I'll give you, Marcus Freeman now, 3 seasons in South Bend, right? You know, he's lost as a 14 or more point favorite 3 times. Notre Dame, going back to 1998, before he took over, hadn't lost 3 games of any magnitude at any size going all the way back. So he can ill afford to lose this game against Army. I don't think he will. Top 25 versus top 25, Ben, at this point, when you got a line that's 14 or more, we have seen favorites dominate 65-43-2 against the number. I just think there's a level to this. Great season by Army, much like Navy was when they played them. Great season, but you are not going to beat Notre Dame in this game, and Notre Dame will step all over you on the way to doing it. I think Notre Dame, it's easy play for me. I'll lay the points. I think it's a bloodbath.
However, the biggest distinction between the cadets and the midshipmen is that Army's defense is much better than that of the Naval Academy at any point this year. Navy has always struggled to defend the run, which is slightly ironic given the fact they probably only see the run in practice. Army is tied for the best scoring defense in the country alongside Ohio State, allowing just 10.3 points per game, 3rd best rushing defense in the country. Now, Notre Dame is darn good as well, and we have just talked about what the Irish has done against non-MAC opponents this season. I don't love Army keeping this game within the number, but that is the biggest difference for the Black Knights and the Mids. The fact that Army is so much better defensively than Navy has been at any point this year. What a Big 12 weekend that we have, Joe, in week number 13. It's almost like week 18 in the NFL. Simultaneous kicks that could decide playoff spots or divisional championships. How about conference championship game appearances. Top 25 tilt in Tempe. Arizona State now number 21 in the country. BYU, after suffering its opening loss of the year, falls 8 spots to 14th. In the Cougs, not expected to have just one loss at the end of Saturday, but 2. 3.5-point road dog against the Sun Devils. Kenny Dillingham has his Arizona State team in Big 12 title contention at 8-2. And 8-2 against the number. How do you see Saturday afternoon in Tempe playing out?
I both these teams have been absolutely so hard to get a read on. The market, Ben, for all year long has faded both of these teams over the last month or so, expecting them both to falter a little bit. BYU finally did in Provo against Kansas last week, but Arizona State went to Kansas State, and nobody was betting Arizona State. They've had some issues with their stud running back there. And yet, what is Arizona State doing it? I mean, my goodness. If it wasn't for Cignetti and the year he's having in Indiana, Ben, your coach of the year is Arizona State's head coach. What he has done with this team has been nothing short of amazing. I also think we're also dealing with an Arizona State team that hasn't scored less than 27 points in Tempe all year long. I could see this one being a fun one. I could see points in this one. I don't want nothing to do with the side, but I'd be willing to take a shot at the over because I think both of these teams will have some success here.
BYU had gone over in 5 consecutive games before last week's low-scoring affair against Kansas. Speaking of Kansas and potential Coach of the Year candidates, not Lance Leipold, maybe in the last month, but on the other side, it's Colorado, number 16 in the country. And what Deion Sanders has done in year number 2 with the Buffs. 2.5-point road favorite in Kansas City against the Jayhawks. Colorado keeps winning. Colorado will play for a Big 12 crown. Colorado is the favorite to win a Big 12 title at this moment. But KU likes to play spoiler here in the last month. Might they do so again in Arrowhead tomorrow against the Buffaloes?
Yeah, I unfortunately, Kansas is a live dog for me for Colorado. Great season, but this Kansas team has been over the last month, Ben, when you take into consideration how many one-score losses that they had early on in this season, this should be a top 25 team because they certainly have been playing like it. They've also handled business against a couple of ranked teams here. Don't forget Iowa State and now just BYU. I'm sorry. I think this is a live home dog here with Kansas. And Deion better be very careful with Colorado. This game could get away from them. I also think it stays woefully under the total.
Kansas now has more ranked wins, 2, multiple, than anybody else in the Big 12. And they have done that in 2 consecutive weeks. This Kansas team looks like, in the last month, the Jayhawks side we expected to see. They have won 3 of their last 4. They have covered in 4 straight, including the Sunflower Showdown against Kansas State. We'll show you the rest of that Week 13 watch list, a couple of games to keep an eye on. We'll talk some Friday college hoops and some Friday NBA Cup action on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The second to last Saturday of this 2024 college football season, Joe, the rest of the Week 13 watch list on this Football Friday. Penn State, double-digit favorite on the road in the Twin Cities against bowl eligible Minnesota. Penn State needs every win it can get against teams that have a record above 500. The Nittany Lions as a favorite, now 30-1 straight up since the start of 2022. 22-8-1 against the number. Compelling Saturday in the SEC. A lot of people looking at Oklahoma, catching nearly 2 touchdowns at home as the underdog against Alabama in a potential look-ahead spot to the Iron Bowl. for the Crimson Tide to win out and earn a berth to the SEC championship game. Double-digit spread as well in favor of Ole Miss in the Swamp against Florida, where the Gators have been a great dog this year. And SMU taking on Virginia, 9.5-point spread in favor of the Stangs. The Mustangs trying to stay unbeaten, Joe, in the ACC.
Yeah, there's some interesting games on that list, Ben. The one that I think has got blowout written all over it, unfortunately, is Ole Miss taking on Florida. I think people watched Lagway come back, thought it was great last week against LSU, but what you quickly learned is that LSU is a hot mess right now at Brian Kelly, especially defensively there. That is not what's going to happen with Ole Miss in this game, because you and I both know good old, Joey Freshwater there is, he's going to want style points, as many as he can get for the committee, as with two losses, right? So he won't be kneeling in this game, and that defense of Florida is all banged up. They will, and they're fully healthy on offense, by the way. I expect Lane Kiffin to just pour it on the road against the Gators in what is probably the biggest mismatch on that card this weekend.
It is a number that begs you to take Florida, because the Gators have covered in 5 of their last 6 games as an underdog. The only non-cover when Aiden Warner got the start in Austin against Texas, but DJ Lagway somehow, some way, miraculous recovery into that hamstring that had him carted off. So we shall see tomorrow in the Swamp. That's a noon Eastern kick. Joey Freshwater, Lane Kiffin, not too happy about that. Let's go from college football, Joe, to college basketball. It is feast week, which means we get some top 25 tilts, and we've got a couple of dandies on this Friday. Top 20 tilt for both Duke and Arizona. Both teams suffering a defeat last week. Zona on the road in Madison against Wisconsin. Duke, of course, in the Champions Classic in Atlanta against Kentucky. They square off tonight. Arizona, a very, very slight favorite in Tucson, laying 1.5.
Yeah, and I like Duke in this one here. I like the scoring opportunities that they have. I do think this thing will fly over the total as well, Ben. As we know, the pace will certainly and the possessions will be there for both these teams. But I do think Duke, when it comes down to it, will make a few more important shots in this one. I'll take the over 160.5, but I'll definitely take Duke on the money line.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well, Joe. We've got a matchup of the two teams that won in Baja Mars Classic yesterday. Tennessee hammering Virginia by 22 and a cover. Of course, Baylor out of nowhere, down by 5 in the final 10 seconds of double overtime. Jeremy Roach, that game-winning 3 as time expired. The Vols now a 4.5-point favorite. Will Rick Pitino have the Johnnies up and ready to go against UVA to bounce back? I-80 rivalry, Creighton and Nebraska. Bad day to be a Jaysker in the Corn Husker State. Wisconsin and UCF, who already has a win against Power Conference foes this year, that being A&M on opening night. The Joe Ranieri Bowl, Miami and Oklahoma State. Ranieri, what do you like in that one?
Well, yeah, they both blew yesterday and cost me nothing but money. Oklahoma State can't play defense, and Miami looked about as uninterested as I've seen them. I do think they'll turn that around. Do not be shocked if this game goes flying, Ben, and I mean flying over the total there. State Miami.
How about those Drake Bulldogs? Ben McCollum, know the name. Northwest Missouri State Division II, 4-time national champ, now a perfect 4-0 with a great Drake team that is always a mid-major to pay attention to in the Missouri Valley. I'll tell you another game I like some points. Iowa, Utah State tonight in KC over 168.5. NBA Cup into the NFL Week 12 Pick 6. We do it all on a Friday on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Before we get back fully into a Football Friday, just some NBA Cup action you need to know on night number 4 of group play in the in-season competition. We've got four games out in the Eastern Conference, 4 in the Western Conference. The odds makers still expecting Philadelphia to show something, despite having the NBA's worst record at 2-12 and only 3 covers to show for it this year. The Sixers, a 6-point favorite against a really good cover team in the Brooklyn Nets. Milwaukee has won 4 of 5. They're a 5-point favorite against the Pacers. Washington, also at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, alongside Philadelphia. Boston, huge win in East Group C, handing the Cavs their first loss of the season on Tuesday. The C's a 15.5-point road favorite in the nation's capital. The Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls, about 1.5-point spread in favor of the Hawks in the Windy City.
Yeah, I forget Philadelphia. How they are even a favorite of 6 is crazy. Beyond me, Ben. This is a team that obviously doesn't like one another. They have no experience playing with one another. That was the first time the Big 3 actually played with one another. And what did they do against the depleted Memphis team? They got absolutely boat raced here. They're 1-5 at home. I have no idea why they'd be laying more than 2 buckets against anybody. Yeah, I'm good. I'll take the points with Brooklyn tonight.
The Nets have been a sensational underdog this year, 8-2-1 against the spread. When you look at that number as well, Joe, it is dropping, reflecting what we are saying, 4.5-point spread now only in favor of Philadelphia. The Hawks and the Bulls playing in an NBA Cup game, by the way, with a total of 246. Yeah. Now let's head out to the Western Conference. The Rockets have been a really good team this year. 12-point favorite against the Blazers team, often an underdog who has not been bad against the number as a dog this year. Portland 9-5-1 against the spread. That's 15 games as a dog. I believe Portland has played all 15 games as the underdog. Indeed, the Clippers at home, they've won 6 straight, a couple outright as an underdog. The Pelicans are really struggling this year. It's been a disastrous season in the Big Easy. Golden State laying double digits on the road in NOLA. The Nuggets, 3-point home favorite against the Mavs. NBA Cup action where I believe Denver won on Tuesday without Nikola Jokic for a 3rd consecutive game.
Yeah, they did. They ended up beating Memphis, who had beaten them the game prior without him as well. But they got back in a big way there. Now we've got some issues with Doncic, it appears, in Dallas. Yeah. Might be missing a few games. So, boy, oh, boy, that's going to be interesting. I believe the birth of his child is why the Joker is missed. I believe he might be back for this one here tonight.
A game time decision. Great program, and that is the status for Nikola Jokic, who has missed 3 straight games. Of course, the Joker doing what he does better than anybody, that is averaging a triple-double at this moment, nearly 30 points, 14 boards, and 12 dimes per game. Leads the NBA, by the way, in both rebounds and assists so far this season. All right, from the NBA Cup to NFL Week 12 action and a preview of the Sunday slate with our pick 6. Again, our pick 6 stands as such. Favorite touchdown scorer of the weekend. Somebody to hit pay dirt and cash a ticket. Moneyline underdog to pull off the outright upset. Our favorite under of the weekend. A game we see with limited scoring. An alt line, a couple of plus money prices, a yardage prop. Somebody to go over a number that is set, and then we combine forces for a 2-leg 6-point teaser. One of these days, we'll make it work, but they call it a teaser for a reason. It should be easy. It oftentimes is not. Anyway, Joe Ranieri, your favorite anytime touchdown score of the weekend is who and in what game?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Kansas City Chiefs and Carolina Panthers, and I'll go with Travis Kelce getting back into the end zone after the Bills took him out of there last week here. I just don't see the Panthers linebackers and safeties doing anything against them. I think it'll be old reliable. Carolina's allowed 7 touchdowns to tight ends already this year. And I think he'll have a field day in this game. I do think Kelce will find pay dirt rather easily in this one.
Yeah, I like that look at a plus 115 price. Mike Blewett mentioned it, the upgrade, not upgrade, but the increased offensive production for Travis Kelce in the last month after a slow start to the year at times. I like the number, Joe. I also like the number for my favorite anytime touchdown scorer. It's Tyreek Hill. He has scored a touchdown in two consecutive games. And honestly, Joe, when I went to look at this, because we have discussed this a few times, the numbers have been so wonky on Tyreek Hill, who led the league in receiving touchdowns a year ago because of the injury to the quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, even as he made his return and still felt a little bit uncertain. That at times you got Tyreek Hill at a number that you could have never got him at a year ago, minus 140, minus 160, minus 175, because of how often Tyreek Hill was scoring touchdowns. Well, up until 2 weeks ago, he'd only scored in the very first game of the year for Miami. Now he has scored in two straight. I actually expected minus 110 or so, still at plus 105. I think the Dolphins have a good day at home against the Patriots, and I think Tyreek Hill hits pay dirt.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And Tua and Tyreek and Miami have owned New England, and they're going to own them again this weekend here, Ben. Without a doubt, he will find the end zone against that pass defense.
So both some plus money in our touchdown score. How about some more plus money and a money line underdog? And when I say both, it means we are thinking the same thing. We have the same money line underdog to win outright on Sunday. In transparency, there's not many great money line spots, a lot of spreads at 6, 7, or even higher than that. Joe, we're focused on the Windy City. We're both on the Bears. How does Chicago pull off the outright upset over the Vikings on Sunday afternoon?
Well, they do it because they have one of the second, I believe, against the pass is that defense of the Bears going up against Sam Darnold. Listen, you beat the Bears by being able to run the ball, and Minnesota can't run the ball. Aaron Jones has been hurt over the last month. Cam Akers not doing a great job here. I don't see them, especially with Darrisaw going down on the offensive line for the Vikings. That was a big loss here. I think the Bears' defense is the reason you want to back them here, Ben, because the third road game in a row for Minnesota and Sam Darnold, I like enough of what I saw last week with the new guy calling plays that I like the chances of Chicago being able to win this game outright.
Yeah, me as well, Joe. Four wins for the Bears this year. Three at home, one in London. At least it wasn't a true road game. Two covers as an underdog this year. Last week at home against the Packers as that offense showed some life with the interim OC in Thomas Brown, and outright as a slight underdog against the Jags in London. All to say, when they're not playing a true road game, the Bears look better. And I'm not asking for them to look fantastic, but just to knock off a Vikings team and win outright. I thought about the Rams. I really trust in the Eagles. That's a Sunday night game in SoFi. I do believe LA is live. Don't know if I think they win outright, although they must really to kind of stay in the race. The NFC West, more important for Los Angeles. Again, Joe, not many other great spots on the Sunday slate, unless you believe in Tommy DeVito. You believe in Drake May. Every other game, except the two that we mentioned, Sunday night and this one here in Chicago, and then you can include the Packers in Lambeau against the Niners. That game very uncertain because of injury status for San Francisco. Every other game, 5.5 points or more, that sees a true underdog because there is a pick'em and thus not really a money line underdog in Seattle between the Cardinals and the Seahawks. But we'll talk more about that game and the rest of the Sunday slate as Week 12 Pick 6 continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our NFL Week 12 Pick 6 continues on live on this Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. We have given you our favorite touchdown score and our favorite Moneyline underdog. Don't worry, if you're just tuning in for the first time, we'll recap everything before we end out the show in our final segment next up. But next up in the Pick 6 is our favorite under of the weekend. Points at a premium, Joe. Where do you go?
Yeah, points definitely at a premium, and I just don't think we're going to get a whole lot of them. I am looking at that Giants and Tampa Bay game here, Brent. I mean, if it ain't broke, we ain't fixing it. And quite honestly, the idea that Tommy Cutlets is going to step in and beat up a Tampa Bay defense that now under Todd Bowles has had an extra week to prepare, I think is ludicrous. We saw this guy already a year ago, Ben, average about 12 points, the Giants, and the offensive line wasn't any good then. It's not any good now. The thing the Giants do have, though, that they were better at than a year ago is their defense. And I do think, even though Mike Evans is slated to come back, it's a cold day. It's a windy day at MetLife Stadium. Not ideal conditions. Tampa is going to win this game, but Tampa is going to have to work for it. I don't see us getting 42 points or more here. I think the under, for me, is the only way I'd look to play this game.
Yeah, the Buccaneers did stay under in their most recent game against the San Francisco 49ers entering the bye. Good news for the Bucs in a season defined by injury, unfortunately, as well. Mike Evans back at practice. There's one thing, Joe, to be said about the Tommy Cutlets sensation, right? And what Tommy DeVito was able to do in his six games as a starter a year ago, going 3-3. But once the book is out on a quarterback that, let's just call it like it is a little bit limited as a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL, defenses start to make their adjustments. You can kind of sweep the nation early on because nobody really has the game film on you. Once you have some time to prepare and both teams have come off the bye, it makes it a little bit more difficult. I lean under, Joe, Cardinals and Seahawks in the Northwest on Sunday, 47.5. I know you see it slightly differently, but it's a pick 'em. And I actually like Arizona to win the game outright. And one of the reasons I think the Cardinals have been playing better football, winners of 5 of their last 6 and 4 consecutive, they've gone under in 3 of those 4 games, allowing 15 points or less in all 3. They've gone under in 4 of their last 5 wins. Arizona has allowed just 15 total points in their last 2 games. All right, who are they playing? The Bears and the Jets. I understand it. But at times, I think Seattle has been a little bit careless with the football is how I would describe Geno Smith. And the Seahawks did go over in 5 of their first 6 games, Joe, now under in 4 consecutive. I know we see this game a little bit differently, but if you had to pick a winner for Sunday in Seattle, who do you like?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I would certainly lean Arizona here, but I do think this is the kind of game at home with Geno Smith that somehow or another he figures out a way and wills his team and gets the W here. It would certainly be a consideration to tease Arizona or Seattle up and over the touchdown if you were looking it that way. This series has been a dead under over the last couple of years, but something tells me healthy on the offensive side now for Seattle and the points that Arizona is capable of putting up. This feels like an over to me here, Ben.
Listen, it might be. It very well might be. I think it's going to be a great game. It's impactful nonetheless in the Northwest. Arizona, the only team with a winning record in the NFC West and now a divisional minus money favorite because San Francisco has their injury woes. Seattle is 5-5. The Rams 5-5 as well. Alt line of the weekend. Let's find those prices out there, Joe. Where do you start?
Well, the alt line for me is to go to a game in which I think is going to be absolute blowout city, and I think that's Miami at home taking on New England. I mean, listen, it's not hard to figure out. Under Mike McDaniels and Tua, the Miami Dolphins punch down better than anybody in the league. Just look at what they did to the Raiders a week ago. We just saw this New England defense give up 4 touchdown passes to a LA Rams team that had to travel across the country. Stafford picked them apart. Tua is going to pick this team apart. That's what they do. I got them over two or more touchdown passes. I think this is a huge game for Tua, maybe even multiple touchdowns to Tyreek Hill, but I think Waddle gets involved. I think Tua has a monster game. He owns New England, guys. He has owned them since he's been in the league. I think he owns them again on Sunday.
Let's get a little bit crazy then with that alt line. 3+ passing touchdowns for Tua Tagovailoa is plus 280. Again, expected to throw two. To add on just one more, plus 280. I agree, Joe. The Dolphins also as a favorite since the start of last year, 13-4 against the spread. Miami expected to beat a team, often does, and they often do so in decisive fashion. My alt line, Broncos, Raiders, over 44.5 at plus 142. Mike Blewett mentioned it, that the Raiders feel like they're off the skids. Are they not already off the skids? They have lost six consecutive games. And Joe, because of that, the defense looks atrocious, but they're scoring enough points to keep games to the over. The Raiders have gone over in 5 of 6 games. They have allowed 27 points at least in all 5 of these overs on the 6-game win streak, including 34 to the Denver Broncos just over a month ago. And the total in that game was 36.5. We finished with 52 points, 34-18, the victory for Denver. And as I said, the Broncos have been great as a cover team, but great as a favorite. 4-0 against the spread when expected to win a football game, over in 3 of 4. The only under last week, Joe, against the Falcons, and that wasn't because of the Broncos. They scored 38 points. Yep. Let's get crazy. Over 44.5 in Las Vegas on Sunday at plus 142. Two more picks in the pick six. A yardage prop. We combine forces for our 6.2 leg teaser. We recap everything for you to send you into the football weekend. Up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A couple of spots in the Sunday Week 12 pick six for the National Football League. Joe Ranieri and I have seen things in a similar fashion. That would include our yardage props for the weekend as well. Focusing on what should be a great game in the afternoon slate there in Seattle between the Seahawks and the Cardinals. Again, it is a pick 'em. It could decide the fate of the top spot in the NFC West. So we go to the Northwest, Joe, and we're both looking at a yardage prop for the Cardinals utilizing legs. You go first.
Yeah, I'm going to look at Kyler Murray here, Ben, who has pretty much, this number just stuck out to me given the fact that he averages at least 7 rushes for 47 yards in his career versus the division rival here in Seattle. In fact, he has rushed for 60 or more yards against them 3 times. This feels like, at this point in the season, very playoff-esque type, fresh off a bye week here. And I don't know, the Seattle run defense has had all sorts of issues here. I mean, we just watched Brock Purdy run 5 times for 40 yards last week.
Yeah.
So I am not sure why it is Murray, who has actually gone over this in 4 of his last 5 games against them, no reason for him not to get at least another 30 to 40 yards on the ground in this one. That's the way I'm looking for an over prop.
And that number on the uptick as well, now 29.5. Joe, it's the same spot I looked, and then another number caught my eye. That's James Conner at only 68.5 rushing yards. To your point, the Seahawks are still the 6th worst rushing defense in the National Football League. I looked at Christian McCaffrey going over his combo prop last week. He didn't quite get there despite having 106 scrimmage yards because he was stuck on 80 rushing yards for a while against Seattle. If James Conner gets 80, he's well over his prop on Sunday against the Seahawks. And in the 2 divisional games that Arizona has played this season, both wins, by the way, as the Cardinals are the favorites to win the NFC West, James Conner, 122 yards against the Rams, 86 against San Francisco. I think it's a heavy ground attack for this Arizona team on Sunday over Kyler Murray, over James Conner. Now, we combine forces for our two-leg, six-point teaser. The Niners spurned me last week, Joe, keeping us from what would have been success. I didn't have the Niners last week. I had the Niners 2 weeks ago. We won last week. I had the Packers.
That's what I was asking. I had we had the Bengals. So we had the Bengals and we had the Packers. Bengals 7.5, and same thing with the Packers. That's a winner, yeah, my
that's
man. That's a winner.
Oh, dude. My God. Here I am thinking we're worse at our job than we are. Great stuff, Joe. All right, let's keep it rolling then. Two straight teaser picks that we are going to hit for you week in, week out. And Joe, again, rather similar fashion, looking at around a touchdown favorite on Sunday and basically bringing them down to a pick to just win the game outright. Who is your first leg of our two-leg teaser?
To me, it's all, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's Miami at home. I don't often like to come down in this here, but they are the home team, and the history of Tua against this team has been unreal. Not to mention the buzz around Miami is huge, Ben. Listen, they have a very favorable schedule, including this game against New England. They still have an outside shot at making a run at a wild card spot here. They know it. The media knows it. And they have no more room for error. So I anticipate they will do what they always do against less than teams, and they will beat the snot out of them. So I'll take it down to a point and a half, and I'll back Miami.
Yeah, I agree with that look as well. Joe, we mentioned how good the Dolphins are as a favorite in the last year plus. The Texans, not so great as a favorite, but I don't think they lose on Sunday at home to the Titans. Why do I say that? Well, Houston's a 7.5-point home favorite against a bad Tennessee team that's just 2-8 and has not covered in any of its 8 losses. So if Houston wins, thus they can win outright by 1.5 in a good teaser spot. All right, quickly, Joe, 50 seconds left in our show. Run through your pick six. I'll do the same.
All right, going with anytime touchdown, Travis Kelce. The Bears are going to be my money line underdog. I'm going the under Giants, Tampa Bay. I'm going two or even three or more touchdown passes for the alt line. Kyler Murray over his rushing prop. And of course, Miami is my teaser leg.
All right, I go Tyreek Hill to find Pater for a third straight game. Bears money line as well against the Vikings. Card Seahawks under 47.5. Broncos Raiders alt over 44.5. James Conner over his rushing yards prop. And the Texans, my leg of that two-leg teaser. Have a great weekend, everybody. The early line returns on Monday.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.